Well, for those that I don't know me, my name is Peter Beer. Yeah, it's spelt the way that the drink is. And 4X. And I don't drink.
Excellent.
In fact, when I stood for council for the first time, I used the slogan, "Have a beer on council." A lot of people voted for me on the very thing. They said, "We like the slogan." We didn't know what you were like. But and I'm still getting the, "Where's me beer?" Well, I didn't know where to start from here. I thought I'd try and structure it in such a way that I'd try and have a bit of time at the end, and you can ask questions about your local council. Now, I don't know how much you know about your local council, now that we're one big happy family, which has had three councils joined together against their will, the will of the people. They didn't want to merge, we merged, and it's been quite an exciting ride, as you might notice if you ever read the local paper. Some of it's true, some of it's not true. But you can ask the questions, we can go from there. Do you normally start your guest speakers with a word of prayer?
Yeah,
let's start with a word of prayer. And I'll bring the word of prayer in later when we get round to our council meetings. God, help us not to doubt your word. Help us to have bigger faith. When life gets complicated, help us to feel you and to know without hesitation that you are there holding us up. Help us to rely on you for everything we receive in your life. Amen. First question someone asked me is, Alfred Lord Tennyson, who was alive many years ago in England, and said, "More things are brought about by prayer than the world ever dreams of." And I think that's quite true. As a young fellow leaving school, the first question was, how did I ever get into local government? As a young fellow at school, being in about 17 or 18, my dream was to be a policeman. I was going to be a policeman no matter what. I was over the age of 16 and I could go to Redfern Police Training School, and that's where I was going to go. Well, I think the good Lord had a different ideas, because about 3 months before I was ready to go, this gentleman came around with this funny looking book with round dots on the page, and as I went through he said, "Just read the numbers you see there." And as I was, it was in the classroom, and as I read the numbers, he said, "Went on to the next." About half an hour ago, I was asked to go up to the headmaster's office. Well, the headmaster happened to be my father. And my first thought was, what I've done wrong now. And he said, "I'm sorry, son." And he said, what's up, Dad? And he said, "You've just been classified as being colourblind. 22 numbers you gave, you got two right, one that should have got right and one you doubted on, you're almost red-green colourblind." I said, "I'm not colourblind, I know red, I know green." He said, "Well, you forget about going to the police force. That's gone. What do I do? What do I do after that?" My heart was set on it. So I guess you're going well with me, Dad, believe it or not, even though he was the headmaster and he that were the days of the cane. I got a few from him, misbehaving. Kids don't know what that is these days. And I actually said, "Well," he said, "why don't you go finish up the few last years of school?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, why not?" I said, "They play football and they play cricket and they do this. Nothing to do with that education. I was sporting. You could go and play in the University Shield with the open weight football side. Loved me football." And so that's what I did. And for the 2 years, or 3 years, I forget even now, the last years of school, I still didn't have a clue what I was going to do. But then I learnt, I had a teacher whose name was a tall fella, out of college, and he was a Christian. And I thought, wow, now if he can be a Christian, so can I. He came out of the teacher's college, he was one of the best hop, stepper and jumpers and runners, he could do anything with sport, and I thought if he could be a Christian, it must be alright. And as they used to do in schools, they had vocation guidance. And I didn't have a clue. Here I was, as a young Christian, sitting outside, wondering what I would do. And I just closed my eyes and I said, "Well, Lord, I haven't got a clue, but I will trust you to talk to the person I'm going to go in there and find out what you want me to do the rest of my life." And lo and behold, I went in there and he asked the questions about me when I got in there, and he said, "I think you would be a good health inspector." "What's that?" Never heard of it. Explained to me what it was, and I still said, well, that was a bit of a wrong step you made for me, wasn't it, Lord? Went back home, and my dad said to me, "Well, what happened?" And I said, "I reckon I could become a health inspector." He said, "Oh, yes. You know the bloke that goes to church, Bruce Belford?" And I said, "Yes, I know Bruce. He was one of Australia's best weightlifters, and he was training a local football team, which I used to go." He said, "He's your local health inspector. Go talk to him." I went and talked to him, and he said, "Oh, I'm looking for someone for 3 months still, 4 months to do some work for me in the office. Would you like to try it?" Isn't it funny how the good Lord works? And I went into the Crookwell office then and did the work, and I found it wonderful. You didn't have to sit behind a desk all the time. You could go out on building sites. You could look at food premises, meeting a lot of interesting people, to say the least. And that's how I got into local government. And my career from local government then went from health surveyors, as they call them now, building inspector and town planning. And of course, one of my best building inspectors is right in this room that I found when I came to this area, and that's for Warren, down on my left here. And I still say that when we had a gale through Jindabyne, most of the houses stood in good tact, because someone who was strict enough with them made sure that everything was tied down properly. And that's, and like I said, you can thank Warren Brown for that. So, yeah, one of the best building inspectors I think I ever worked with. But I would like to actually go back to the text that some years ago I found it to be my favourite text, and it came from Jeremiah 20, chapter 29, verses 11 to 14a. 29:11. I'll just find it here. Here we are. "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me when you find me, when you seek with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declared the Lord." That verse came to me back in 2007 when I lost my first wife through cancer. My life was destroyed. And I looked at that verse, and I find, and I look back through my life from the very start when I went into local government, that the Lord did have a plan for me. And I think he still has a plan for all of us. Now I look round here, and your hair is about the same colour as mine. Nice and grey.
Now mine's platinum blonde.
Platinum blonde, is it? You know.
What verse was that?
Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to halfway through 14. Now this was referring to the nation of Israel, but it replies just as much to us today. And I still believe that us, with our grey hair, have got a lot more to give the community. And I found that out when I stood for council. I stood for council because what was I going to do with 35 years of local government experience? And I'd worked in Moree, which was up to the Aboriginal communities. I'd worked in Lithgow, around Lithgow City, which was around the mine, coal mining, power stations, Portland cement, all that stuff. Then I moved out west around the Dunrooklyn area, Murray River, tourist area, farming community, rice growing, and then I moved to the mountains here. That's when I ran into Warren here, at the Snowy River Shire. I worked there for a number of years, worked in Cooler, and then I retired in 2007 to actually live the last 5 years with my wife who had cancer. I think I retired in January and she died in May, 4 months later, through a complication that no one saw. My life was destroyed until I read this. And I have I was lent on that verse all the time. So why would one want to go into local government? Well, I think we all have our path to lead, and even though we may be getting old and we might be thinking that we don't have anything to do in this world, I think we do. There was a book I was read some time ago, You Must Go Down Before You Go Up, written by a Jesuit monk. And he used the example that our lives are in two phases, male lives, female lives. One where you are young, where you build up on your career, where you think you have made it, and one where you pass over, where you know you have made it. And they're generally the grey-haired ones. He then went on to show that the boards and the people who succeed in this life, the board and the company, have a mixture. They have a mixture of the younger person and the older person. The younger person is the one who's bright and wants to go places, and the grey hair ones are the ones who have had the experience to say, hang on, let's not quite go there. Let's do it this way, because we know by doing what we used to do, the mistakes we learn to actually pass on. And I think that's a role we can play in our society today. And I would certainly hope that's a role I can play in standing for council. Council's been a very interesting council here, as I said earlier. We are a completely different council to what we were 2 years ago. Bombara Council, Cooma, Monaro Shire and Snowy River Shire. We have a three-stage community. We have Bombara, which on the statistics is dying at about 6 or 7% a year. We have the Snowy Mountains area, which is growing at about 6 or 7% a year and booming. We have Cooma, which is flatlining but slightly increasing and is the service centre of this area. So we have those three types of communities. We also have a rural community, and we have another community which is Mikalago North. All they do up that area is pay rates down here. They don't come down for services, they don't come down for schooling, they don't come down for shopping, medical attention or anything. So we have a very diverse shire. Well, regional council. And for those that what a regional council is, this council now has been lumped into the sizes of like the Blue Mountains in Sydney, Tamworth. So we are in that same area. We are a completely different three shires into now a regional council, expected to do the things that the likes of what Blue Mountains does and what Tamworth does and all the other larger towns. Our population of our shire is about 21,000, and when you compare it, say, to the Blue Mountains, it's what, 100? Yeah. I don't know. Huge. Yet this is what we've been put into. One of the most interesting experiences I've ever had in local government has been when I think some of you know this story, is when our local mayor, our first local mayor of our regional council, John Rooney, went away to a conference and came back before a meeting and said, I've just been to a conference and I'd like to introduce, or I'd like to you to here to ask you about a couple of practices that councils elsewhere carry on. And one was that every time you, well, there's 11 councillors now and there's no wards. I'll leave a bit at the end and you can ask some more questions about your local council if you like. And he said, there's two practices that some councils have. One is that when you speak, you stand. And you don't sit, you've got to stand. Now, he said, I went round the table from right to left. Now, I sit on the far left of him because my name is Beer and I'm in the alphabetical order as they go round. And he went round and asked what they people thought about standing, and everyone sort of just said, oh, it doesn't really matter. If you want to stand, you can sit, speak when how you like. He said, the other one is, and he said, I'm not too sure about this one. He said, a lot of councils start their council meetings with a word of prayer. Dead silence. And I thought to myself, well, this is going to be an interesting conversation, isn't it? He said, normally he would start from the B's and then go down to the to the other end of the alphabet. But this time he started on the right-hand side instead of the left. And so I was the last to actually have my opinion. Well, the first opinion was, we don't want that rubbish here. This is not a church. This is a council meeting. To the stage where everyone, except one or two, said, sort of wavered a little bit. And there was three comments, and I won't say who they were, who said, if you have prayer here, I'm walking out. This is nothing to do with prayer. This is a council. God has nothing to do with council. And I thought, oh, that's going to be interesting. What do I say at the end, right down at the bottom? Because my advertising has always been with a fish on the bottom of my advertising when I stand for council. I'm a Christian, and people ask me, I will say that. And it has a lot of interesting conversations, e.g. post office in, where was it? Oh, in Adamindaby, when they had the post office in there. I put one up in their window. Oh, yeah, we'll put it. What's the fish for? You're a fisherman. I said, yes, I am. What do you catch? And I said, people. Oh. So we started a conversation at the post office counter. And it took half an hour because everyone else were joining in. So what's this fishing business? What do you believe? Why? Anyway, it went up. I did notice that last election, the fish, when I put it in the Monero post, seemed to miss. I think they thought it was a mistake and they scrubbed it. But that's another question. So I wondered when it got round to me what I could say, and I was sort of there sort of saying, Lord, what do you want me to say? How do I, you know, what's going on? Obviously it's sort of a no-no around the table. And it got to me. And the mayor said, what do you think, Peter? And I said, well, I think most people know where I stand because I have a fish at the bottom of my campaign when I ran for council. And and that's where I stand. I think this council needs, and this is my word, I think the Lord gave me, I think this council needs more help than it thinks it needs, and the good Lord might give it to us. But Mr. Mayor, do you think that I would get support if I moved the motion to have prayer before the meeting? Do you think anyone here would, unless you would like to second it, and I'd like to speak to it, and if we did have a motion up to actually have prayer, do you think it would get through on the figures? And he said, no, I don't think so, and I'm not, you know, I'm just asking the question. I said, I think we need prayer because we're going to need it in the next 18 months, 2 years, or 3 years of the council. And then it suddenly dawned on me that around that table and across the front of the desk, there was only one person who would stand and say, who I believe had the courage to stand up and say, I am a Christian. I think we should have prayer for help for this government. And we're no different from any other government, whether it be state, federal or local. They're different responsibilities. People make the mistake that local government makes laws. It does not make laws. It administrates policy and carries out the directions of the state government. We are an arm of the state government. But we do have responsibilities. We have responsibilities to advocate for the services of people here. We have the responsibility to make sure you have water, sewerage, garbage, roads done up. Don't go under roads because you haven't got enough money to do what the people want. And we have a strong ability, I believe, to actually work in the community where people need services. Family, social services to actually get the thing here. A community is not a community just because it had good roads, water, sewerage and garbage services. It is a community when you get the health services in, the community services in, and have that spirit where you're ready to help your fellow person with through government service and advocate for those particular services. Those services in the country are getting run down. Cost shifting from the services to the community is happening, and we are getting to the stage, I believe, where we have to stand up to get those services back into the community for the homeless, the helpless, and those that need help. They're just not there. And the more we make the communities, the less you're getting in those areas. So I would strongly suggest that if you want to do something for your community, and we have that grey hair, you've got the knowledge, and you have the ability of past experiences to get out there and advocate for better services and better lifestyle, and to actually put your stamp down as doing the work that the good Lord has set for you, if you believe that's what you should be doing. Does anyone like to ask a question now, any about your local council? I'll try and answer it. How am I going for time, by the way?
You've got a few minutes.
Okay, has anyone got...
Five,
yeah.
5 minutes and then the alarm goes off.
Oh, right.
When I read council notes and information in the paper, I'm picking up that it seems to be dysfunctional, that there seems to be sections or groups and I'm just wondering how functional is it at the moment?
It's getting better. It started off very tribal because you had people voting for various people on from various areas, from their existing areas, Snowy, Cooma or Bombala. It is a lot more functional now. They're now starting to interact and talk to each other a lot better. The current issue you would have read in the paper, which makes it look dysfunctional, is with the mayor. But I suppose, to be fair, he came in there without any experience, and I think he's probably, sit down and talk to him, he's quite reasonable to talk to, but he certainly has seemed to have built a fair resistance with the community out there, without probably realising that he did it. There will be an election for the mayor again in September this year, so it's only a few months to go. He has a 2-year stint. And then goodness knows what will happen. It is not as dysfunctional as it has been. Mind you, I had never been to a council meeting in my 40 years of local government, or even more, where the police have been called to evict people, march people out, or have security guards to keep order. That is now calmed down quite a bit, and I believe that there is now a realisation that because of we're so different in our communities, there has to be a lot of give and take. I think it's getting better, although it may not sound so in the paper. Any other questions? Yeah.
When you just going back to when you were describing when the mayor asked that question,
yep.
And you took a stand as a Christian,
yeah,
and really what you were doing was proclaiming the name of Christ. What happened after that? Did anybody actually say to you, or did you get any support from anybody because you actually had the courage to speak?
I got support from two who said, well spoken, but I don't think, you know, we had the numbers. Who wouldn't, yeah. But, yeah, that was it. And it hasn't been mentioned since. That's the last 2 years.
So
nearly 2 years.
Pardon? You don't start
meeting with... No. And yet all state and federal parliaments do. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I was going to point out, that the state and federal government always start with prayer.
Yep. And I still think we need a lot of help.
It hasn't done much good.
Well, it has done us good. It's funny that the money that's being sprayed out here up the mountains, there's over 100,000 going to be spent in from our local member up the mountains in up in the Snowy Mountains. So the state government's declared that'll become the premier winter summer tourist centre of Australia, and they're prepared to put the money in. There's money coming in here for all sorts of projects, schools, halls, theatres, and here. Bombara, there's probably $15 million going into their water supply, and a lot more, $1 billion going in for a new treatment plant because that's been run down. We won't go there because that's a bit of a hot potato. But they will get proper water and sewage systems and services. Look, there's millions. And that's been through the Wise and Pole sale, and of course through the Snowy Hydro sale in South Wales. I'm glad our local member got back in because he's got 4 years to spend all that money that he promised to us.
I'm still waiting for $250.
Anything else? Yeah, that's my alarm, is it?
That's the alarm, yeah.
One more, any more, one, any no. questions? Sorry, back there.
Peter, you were talking about sort of
Not in local government. Most of those services I'm talking about are funded by either state or federal. Actually, a lot of them from the state, and they've shifted the. For example, I'll give you an example of the Monero Family Services support. They had people going out to all the remote areas and towns and farms, helping families and mums, dads who had handicapped children, who had mentally disturbed children, or what have you, and they cut the funding for the travel. And they had to then come into Cooma as the service centre, which is one of the things we probably should talk about. Cooma should be looking more at services. And they shifted the cost from the going from Cooma out to the farm, and these were really on the Victorian border. And then they have to travel in. And if you really wanted to have help, I'd give you a link to the Far West Children something to actually talk to them. Now, ridiculous.
Who's cut the funding?
Well, it was cut by, I think, a federal, but John Barilaro stepped in and saw the need and gave them quite a few thousand dollars to provide the transport. And this area, it's whether we like it or not, is about three quarters the size of Wales, 200 k's north, south and east, west. And the distances are just horrific to actually bring all those communities together to try and to bind them together as one. It's still going to take some time. And the council's view is that we advocate. We can't finance, we just haven't got it. But we advocate to get those extra community and social services for those in need, because who else is going to do it? That's the role of the local council, to fight and go for those extra services that are needed in the community, no matter what they are.
And I guess the other part is that include the ski resorts, because we had all those problems with Snowy River, where state governments wanted to provide services to
the ski resorts. No, same issue happens. It's now spread over a bigger part. Instead of Snowy River Shire looking after the accommodation and all these services that have to be done with this Perisher and Threadbow areas, now it's spread across the whole area because there are no ridings and everything will be coordinated into one funding system for water, one funding system for sewage, and there'll be one rating system as well. It'll all be harmonised into one.
There's still no rating of those properties.
Nope.
Even though
the
people there can vote in the election.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's still got the same issue. And that's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.